The Mission Center is one of the ways that we as a church are striving to be an ambassador for Christ in this community. And I love that story with Donna. You know, Mike Henry has led us with Follower of One to go on workplace mission trips. And we did that here at our church. You wouldn't think that, hey, our church, we're going to do a workplace mission trip right here. But we actually did. And God used Patsy. I think about Patsy being an ambassador for Christ, noticing a need and saying, Lord, you can use me, and then acting on that. You know, if you have your Bibles, we're in Philippians chapter 1. And for the next 2 weeks, we're going to be in this 1 through 11. But Dawson is with me. This is Dawson Balthrop. And, you know, as I think about what I pray you learn from me, as you reflect back on, hey, Chris Wall was my pastor for the time that I've been able to be your pastor. Two things I pray you catch from me and that you can summarize, and I just want to tell you what I pray you learn. Number one is that God's called you to a gospel adventure that you don't want to miss. I mean, if you're a Christian, you're called to this gospel adventure that is so incredible to serve the Lord. I pray you catch that. I pray you don't miss that. Secondly, I pray you catch from my time as your pastor that you're called to be an ambassador for Christ. And if God answers my prayer, I pray that as long as I'm living, that we are pushing one another to be ambassadors for Christ. Dawson, I'm proud of you. You know, 1 Timothy chapter 4 talks about, do not let anyone look down on you because you're young, but you set an example for the believers in your speech, in your life, in your faith, in your love, and your purity. And Dawson, I'm watching you and your buddies. Number one, you're living out this gospel adventure. Because I sat next to a boy at this party that Amber did the other day, and Andrew, next to a young man that you guys led to the Lord. So I'm watching this gospel adventure play out. I'm also seeing you step up as an ambassador for Christ. And our church needs to know what God put on your heart, your friend group, on you guys' hearts. Tell us about that. I want to hear about that.
So I have a group of friends, and it's me, Kale, Harrison, and Evan. And this group came together one night, and we had an idea, and we agreed on many things, but one thing in particular, that the gospel needs to be shared and that the whole high school should be included in that. And so we asked each other, why do you want to share the gospel? Because all of you can think of great reasons to share the gospel, plenty of them. But why do you personally want to share the gospel? And so, for example, my answer was, I want to share the gospel with people because I've experienced the gospel. And so in student ministry, we began a series on Zacchaeus and how Jesus was in a crowd. And he stopped in the crowd, and then he looked at Zacchaeus, and he helped him. And so while he was in the middle of a bunch of other people, he stopped what he was doing to help them. And so we started to look for our Zacchaeus in our classrooms and people who you think you should share the gospel with, or believers that have already heard the gospel and that you can dive deeper and encourage them in their faith more. And as it's still in its developing stages, and so right now it's a lot of accountability. As you have two friends that could get together and share the gospel, and then get each other to get another pair of friends so that they can share the gospel. And so this network of sharing the gospel just expands and expands and expands until you have a high school that all wants to share the gospel.
Isn't that incredible? I mean, you know, I love a couple of things there. It's in development. I love that. I mean, I want this guy in my life as long as I'm living. That he's thinking about the development of sharing the gospel with the entire high school. How cool is that? Yeah, and they did it on a sleepover. I think my sleepovers, we were TPing people's houses. I feel really convicted. I'm proud of you, man.
Thank you.
You know, how can we pray for you guys in this development stage of this?
Pray for the discipline to keep going, even when not all of us just Maybe when some others don't know why we're doing what we're doing, but we have the discipline to keep moving forward even when others don't understand what we're doing. And definitely pray for the courage to share the gospel.
Yeah.
Just in general.
You know what I was thinking about, Dawson, today? As I wanted our church to hear this story. But I had my 10-year reunion. I've had my 20-year reunion. I've had my 30-year reunion. I know that's surprising. I look so young, don't I? But at every one of those, people I went to high school with had died. And I've just thought about the impact of these boys as they are sharing the gospel, how that's going to shape their reunions. Let's stand together and pray for these boys in our student ministry. Dawson, can we do that? Father, we as a church, we partner together with them to pray for these students, these young men and women that are in our ministry, in our church, that are thinking about sharing the gospel with their entire high school. Father, that's an example that we should notice and follow. I pray you'd give them power. I pray you'd show us as a church how to support them, how to help them, how to empower them. I pray that you would bless the work of their hands, that this developing vision would be just right in step with your being led by your Spirit. Thank you for them. Thank you for the chance to pray for them today. May you remind us, would you wake us up, Lord, in this room, all of us together, would you wake us up in the night to pray for them? Would you move us to our knees? May they feel the power of the prayers of their church. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, Philippians 1 speaks to this. Stay standing, because I've asked Dawson to read Philippians 1:1-11. And if you're visiting today, we stand in honor of God's word, and Dawson's going to read it together.
Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi with the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God.
This is the word of the Lord. Thank you, Dawson. You may be seated. Thank you, Dawson. You know, the church of Philippi, it's a really important letter. God's given us these letters to these churches as an historic record for us to know what God says to churches. And the church of Philippi was a church that got it. That they were growing in their faith. They were growing in their spiritually. They were growing numerically. And God was at work in their lives. And you know what? When you look at their lives, the intros of these letters, we often skip. We often skip over to go, what's he really saying to them? And if we stop and pay attention to the Word of God, we recognize that His Word is, every bit of it is instructional and useful. And it's valuable to stop and pay attention. And what you see in this passage are two incredible revelations. You see a gospel adventure that's in front of this church. And that applies to us. You see this calling to represent Christ to the world. I would articulate it as they were learning to be ambassadors for Christ. And you know, when you look at this group of people, they were not just gathering in a location. They were committed to a mission. Now, if you have your Bibles, let's keep looking there. And it says in verse 1, look at Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi, with overseers and deacons. Now let's notice the text here. Let's just notice what's in front of us. He's writing, Paul and Timothy are writing this letter. These are two pastors. These are two leaders. And who are they writing to? To all the saints. You know who the saints are? It's every Christian. Everyone that's come to know God. Like our mission statement is this, to know, our mission is to know God and help people follow Jesus here, there, and everywhere. And knowing God is the greatest opportunity you and I have. When I came to know God, not just know about Him, but know Him, interact with Him, learn to walk with Him, learn to hear Him. And notice what he said. He goes, I'm writing to all the saints. That's every Christian. You may not feel like a saint very often, but you know, if you know Christ as your Savior, that's what the Bible calls you a saint. And we have a distorted view of what a saint is. A saint is somebody that's been forgiven, someone that knows Christ, that knows God. And when you think about this passage, he's going, this is to all the saints and to the overseers. Who are the overseers? Those are the elders, the pastors, people like me that are called to lead the church, people that are called to help the church understand how to live on mission. But you know what? It's not just my role to be a minister of the gospel. It's my job is to equip the saints for the work of ministry, you for the work of ministry. And to the deacons, that's another office in the church. Elders, overseers, that's an office in the church. Overseers, elder, pastor, every time you see those words, it's describing the same office. Deacons are servants in the church. But let's not miss that he's writing to all the saints. And you know, this is worth noting. This is worth considering. Because you know, when I think about you being a saint, every one of us who are saints are called to be ambassadors for Christ. And this is worth writing down if you're just taking notes today, that every ambassador for Christ has been given a unique gospel adventure. That you, as a Christian, you have a unique story. You have a unique journey with God because it's when you came to faith. Look at verse 2. Look at what he says. Grace to you. Peace to you. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think it's noteworthy that this letter speaks to this church, people that came to know what grace is. You know what grace is, don't that? The moment that you came to faith in Christ, when grace changed you and when you experienced the grace of God. And this has changed my life. I love what Dawson said, why he's sharing the gospel, because he has experienced it. And every one of the saints who know what it's like to be forgiven, grace has impacted you. Peace has come to you. Notice the text, grace to you and peace from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. Those of us that know what peace is, and we understand what peace, when peace comes to us, even in the midst of the storm, even when in the greatest trials that we faced, I found that in the most difficult times, that's when God has shown me His peace. This week, we tag-teamed on the truck driver that brought these chairs to us. He was from Florida. He was from the Dominican Republic. And all the guys, we had a bunch of guys moving these chairs in, and someone said, hey, he's from the Dominican Republic, and I bet he was a baseball guy. I was right. He was about 6'3", and a left-handed pitcher. And I got to talk to him, and I got to share the story of my baseball bracelet, and I got to share the gospel with Felix this week. And you know what? It was a story that I got to share of my life when peace came to me. And I think it's noteworthy that Paul says to all of you, the church at Philippi, you knew grace, you knew peace. And you know what? Something I don't want us to miss. And here's the connection to us. Do you know that your past and present journey with Jesus is worth sharing? Do you know when grace came to you, that's a story worth sharing? When peace has come to you from Christ, that's a story worth sharing? And you know what I want to challenge us to do today, to learn from these high school kids that are preparing to share their story? I want to challenge you to recognize that when grace came to you, when peace came to you, that's a story worth sharing. And look at verse 3. He says, I thank my God in all my remembrances of you. Who's he talking about? The church. Do you know what's coming to his mind? He's writing this from jail. And this is not like a comfortable spot, but he's like, oh my goodness. He's thinking about the church at Philippi, these individual people. And I get this, because I can look around the room, and I won't do this today, but I could walk around the room, I could point people out. Many of you, I know your story. I know how God has moved in your life, and it's encouraging when I look at your faces because your faith encourages me. For example, right now, Wayne and Gloria Yeckley are watching online. And when I hear Wayne's story, he can't come because of health issues, but every week he watches online, and his story, every time I think of Wayne Yeckley and Gloria Yeckley, I am strengthened because of their story of faith. And that's what Paul's doing. He's in jail. It's a tough time. And he's like, I thank my God in all my remembrances of you. And here's what I don't want you to miss, that your story matters. We have a temptation to think, well, I don't really have a good testimony because I wasn't on drugs and I didn't get thrown in jail and I never killed anybody and I don't have a good testimony. I want you to know something. Every one of you that know God, know Christ as your Savior, you have an amazing testimony. And this is why you should be confident. I don't want any of you to think that your testimony is not valid or not useful. Yeah, you may be normal. I was saved right before my 8th birthday. The truth is, I did more bad stuff after I came to Christ than before I came to Christ. But, man, God gave me a story. And God gave you a story. Your story matters. And that's why Paul says, I thank my God for my remembrances of you. He's looking at the church and all these people that were changed by Christ. And you know, when your story, I want you to be confident in your story, because your story helps other people see what God can do in a normal life. You know that most people live kind of normal lives. And there's incredible value of you sharing your story with somebody that just lived a normal life, going to work every day and raising your kids, going to baseball games and, you know, living your life. Your story will help others see what God can do. You know what else it reminds you of? It reminds you of how far God has brought you. I look at my story, my life, and God's brought me a ways. And that's useful for the Lord. Look at verse 4. He goes, I thank my God in all my remembrances of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, making my prayer with joy. So what is he doing? What is Paul telling us? What do we see here just plainly in the text? He's remembering them. He's praying with joy. He's thanking God for the grace that was given to them. He's thanking the Lord for the peace that they've experienced. And here's Paul writing from jail. And you know what he's experiencing? He's experiencing the peace of God. The strength that God gives him in this really tough situation. This is why you've got to know the context of Philippians. He's writing from a prison cell. But God's giving him peace in the midst of a difficult time. And he's praying that that grace, that peace keeps growing. And let's catch the obvious lesson here. And this is something that we're striving to learn to do. We're striving to learn to pray. And this is why I want to challenge us to not miss the discipline of prayer. We've talked about this all summer. We looked at it a couple weeks ago about how to pray. And you know what praying does? Praying for open doors opens your eyes to these divine appointments. So as I look at this passage, Paul's praying. And I would challenge you and challenge us, let's start praying today. Start praying today. Paul didn't just think about the Philippians. He didn't just think about them. He prayed for them. He turned those memories of God's hand at work in their lives into prayers. And he was praying for the advancement of the gospel, for open doors, for continued faith, for opportunities to make Christ known. That's what he's praying for. And you know what happens when you start praying? If you start praying for open doors, do you know what God will do in your life? He'll start opening your eyes. Sometimes as followers of Christ, we think, oh, I got to go find a stranger somewhere to share the gospel. Maybe. But do you know that the people that need the Lord in our lives, they're already there. It's like these boys praying, hey, you know what? Let's start sharing the gospel with my high school. Why? Because they go there. And look, I'm thankful that Paul didn't pray these vague prayers. He was specific in his prayers. You know, sometimes we pray, God, would you bless me today? That's okay to pray. But what if you started praying specifically, like, hey, Lord, would you open my eyes today to those around me? That's what Patsy did. Patsy prayed, Lord, open my eyes, and there's Donna on staff at our church. And see, this is what God does. He opens our eyes to the divine appointment. What prayer does, you know what? It changes your vision. And that's what prayer does. And this is what Paul is saying. He's praying. And look what he says, verse 5. Because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. See that word partnership? You know what that means? It's this fellowship with a purpose. It's describing the mission of the church. That people are working together for the same mission. And this was a joy to Paul. This was a joy to us. And this church, they weren't just listening to sermons. They were living them out. And this is why Philippians, God gave us this record historically for us to not miss what he was doing in the lives of the Philippian church. They were giving, they were serving, they were witnessing. They were sharing in the work together. And it wasn't just to the pastors of the church. It wasn't just to the deacons of the church. It was to every saint in the church. And that's what's very valuable. Verse 6. Notice verse 6. He says, I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. Let's look at that verse. Like Paul's writing, encouraging the Philippians. He's saying, I'm sure of this. I'm certain that God, who began a good work in you, will bring it to completion. You know, as I look at this, I'm so pumped about being here today in this room. I am pumped. It's an answer to prayer. A room that we can hear, see, and gather together. You know what this room is? It's a launching pad for our church. A launching pad where we're planted. And yeah, we're going to come and gather. But you know what's most important? We're going to scatter. We're going to scatter from this place. And we're going to infiltrate all over this place. And here's what I know. Is when I look at the church and I look at what God did in Philippi, he started a church. I look at what God's done in Owosso, and He started a church here in us. And there's going to be a day he will complete this work. But do you know what I'm certain of? That completion date is not today. Because we're still swinging. We're still here with work to do. And I love this calling to the church of Philippi because Paul is reminding them, hey, look, God has called you to this. And God will complete what he's asked you to do. And he who began a good work in us. Like we've heard today, a good work has been going on here. But we've got to not miss that this work is not complete. And he who began a good work will complete his work. And notice this, at the day of Jesus Christ. You know, that's one of those moments where God opens the window of heaven and lets us look in. Can I tell you why being an ambassador for Christ and embracing the gospel adventure, it's one of the core values of our church. It's one of the things that we've got to not miss as followers of Jesus. Because there's going to be a day we all stand before God. We're going to stand before him. And I don't know when my last day is. I don't know if we will be that one generation that sees the coming of Christ. I don't know if that's going to be us. I don't know if we're going to be like every other generation, just one by one, we have our meeting with the Lord face to face. You know that's a date on everyone's calendar. And I don't know where we will be in that kingdom moment. But one of the things I do know, like Dawson said, he's experienced the grace of God, and he's got some guys around him to hold him accountable to be faithful. You know what I call that? What we're doing here. Now, next week, we're going to get back in. We're going to finish through verse 11 because I think it speaks to how we stay connected. But here's what I pray you catch today, that your testimony is worth sharing. That your experience with God is valuable. Do not think that you don't have a good story or a good testimony. Prepare to share it. My prayer is that you join us in this lifelong push to hold one another accountable, to be ambassadors for Christ. And here's just the truth. The vast majority of the people that live by you and me, the vast majority of people that you work with, that you rub shoulders with at restaurants and you're on fields with and you hang around, you realize the vast majority of people that we know, they're going to lay their head on their pillow tonight and they're not going to know what it's like to be forgiven. You know what God's done? Planted us here to help people know God and then follow Jesus. So can I ask you to bow your head? And as you bow your head, I want you to just ask the Lord this. Ronnie's going to play, but would you ask the Lord to help you share your story with somebody this week? Now, would you ask the Lord this? Would you pray for open doors this week and open eyes to those around you? Would you ask the Lord for that? You know, I believe, now you can look at me, if you would. I believe God's going to answer those prayers today. But you may be here today and you're like, okay, Chris, Dawson said something that I don't have. He said, I've experienced it. I've experienced the gospel. I've experienced salvation. And if that's, that may be some of you today. You've not yet experienced what it's like to be forgiven. And when I said, hey, when I brought up, hey, some people are going to look at their ceiling tonight and not really know what it's like to be forgiven, you may be going, that's me. You know, can I tell you, that's why our church is here? And I just want you to know what the Bible says. Romans 5:8 is such an amazing revelation. It says this, but God demonstrates his love for us in this, that even though you were a sinner, Christ died for you. You see, my life, God knew me. He knew that almost 8-year-old boy, as I was going upstairs to talk to my mom, and I was coming to just understand that I needed a Savior. See, Jesus saved me that day. But you know what he knew? He knew that I was going to do worse stuff after I came to know him than I had done previously. See, he knew me. He knew Chris Wall. He knew that Chris Wall would be one of those guys that would know what to do, know what I was supposed to do, and I just wouldn't do it. He knew that Chris Wall would be one of these guys that I just would lack the discipline to obey the Lord. I wouldn't even know. I would be sinning and doing something wrong, and I didn't even take the time to realize it was wrong. You see, he knew that I would have this tendency to rebel against him. But do you know what he did anyway? He still died for me. You see, Jesus loves you. And when he died on the cross and he rose from the dead, he opened the door for you to receive a gift of eternal life. And you know what? You could today, you could come to Christ today, and then you would put your head on your pillow tonight and know what it's like to be forgiven. That's why our church is here. And that's what I pray, that God uses us in this community to proclaim that there's a Savior. And the gift is available for you. Oh, I pray you don't leave here today before you come to Jesus. Our staff's going to be around down front after the service. We're under construction still. The foyer is going to eventually look. There's going to be a big welcome center right now. There's like donuts and stuff. Go by the donut people. There are no calories today. It's Sunday and all that. I'm just kidding. That's a joke. But talk to somebody today. Maybe someone that brought you. I guarantee you there's many incredible stories in this room that are worth hearing. And let's be ambassadors for Christ. I love being your pastor. Now let's stand together. And as we end today, we're going to be down front and we're going to hang around here. But I want us to say our mission statement together. And we'll practice once just because that sounds like fun to do. Our mission is to know God and help people follow Jesus here, there, and everywhere. All right, let's do it together. You ready? Our mission is to know God and help people follow Jesus here, there, and everywhere. Hey, let's do that this week. I love you deeply. Have a great day.